a small boy picked up some wood that really wasn't worth very much. And he took his knife and he whittled it into a beautiful boat. While he was at the stream near his house playing, the wind caught the boat and swept it away, and he lost it. Just a few days later, he saw the very same boat sitting in the window of a store for sale. Someone had found it and cleaned it up, and now it was being offered for sale. The boy immediately rushed home, and he opened his bank, and he took out all of the money that he had saved, and he went down to the store, and he bought the boat. As he left the store, he was cradling the boat and saying over and over again, "You're mine, you're twice mine. I made you, and I bought you back." This little story represents very clearly for us what Jesus did in buying us back. Jesus is our Creator, according to John chapter 1 and verse 3. And Jesus is our Redeemer, the one who has bought us back. And that's our topic today on Truth for the World.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
By way of review, last week we began this study, Jesus, the Loving Redeemer. And in studying it, we noticed first three truths regarding Jesus. Three things that are true about the Savior. We notice first that Jesus was approved of God, that God the Father approved of God the Son and what He did here on the earth. We notice that the death of Christ was certainly no accident. Not only that, but God foreordained. He ordered it ahead of time. We find out that that ahead of time was ahead of all time, even before the foundation of the earth was laid. And we also learned that Jesus was killed by wicked men. And that word wicked meant people who were acting outside of the law. People who were not going according to the law that they were supposed to live under. That then prompted us to ask four very important questions. These questions are important because we need to understand why and how Jesus redeemed us. The first question was simply, why did Christ die? Why did He die for me? Now, beginning today, we're going to look at the other three questions. We want to notice first today, how did Christ die? That's very important for us to understand. Secondly, today we want to note, what should I do in response to Christ's death? And then finally, we want to ask the question, what will I do? Not only what should I do, but what will I do? Why did Christ die for me? Christ died for me because He loves me. We talked about that last week. Christ died for me in order to ransom me from sin, to free me. We also talked about the fact that Jesus is our only ransom. In fact, according to this book, our only ransom, our only Redeemer, our only Lawgiver. Therefore, we should follow Him and Him alone. Jesus died for me so that I wouldn't have to die. He died in my place. And Jesus died for me in order to bring me salvation. This does not mean that I am saved no matter what I do, but rather it means that if I will be obedient to His Word, He has already done what is necessary to save me. Today, then, we turn our attention to the very important question, how did Christ die? How did Jesus die? Now, I'm going to begin reading in just a moment, and every word that I read is going to be a word that has come directly from God's Word, from those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, taking verses from various books and placing them together so that the story will flow in paragraph form. And during the time that I read this, I'll not make any commentary of my own until it's completely over. How did Jesus die? Here's the answer. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it up in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard this, said, This man calleth for Elias. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. That's the end of our reading. And that's how the Bible tells me that my Lord died. Jesus died a terrible death. Jesus died an agonizing death. And he died for me. And that's how. Remember from Psalms chapter 22 and verse 18? It was prophesied way back there. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That was the prophecy that had been fulfilled by the actions of the soldiers. I also find it interesting to note that they wrote his accusation above his head, and you notice the only accusation they could make is that he's the King of the Jews. But he really was King of the Jews. And they wrote the accusation in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. Hebrew was the religious language of the people. Latin, the legal language, and Greek, the common language. And Jesus appeals to all men on all levels. Notice also the five groups of people that were around the cross. First, we have the passers-by who mocked him. Then we have the Jewish leaders. They also mocked him. In fact, they were responsible for putting him there on the cross. The soldiers who gambled and mocked him. The criminals, one on either side, also crucified with him. One, even facing death, would not acknowledge the Christ. The other petitions him for salvation and receives it. And then the women and John at the foot of the cross. I wonder, if I had been there, if I had lived 2,000 years ago, and I had been in Jerusalem on that occasion, what group of people would I have been in when my Lord died for me? It's a sobering thought that He died for me. The question then is, what effect should His death have on me? How should I respond to the death of Christ? Well, there are many answers, and we'll only look at a few today. First, we notice that it should cause us to want to become a Christian. Seeing what Jesus has done for us should make us want to become a Christian. You know, in the Old Testament times, before the temple was built, the children of Israel traveled about with the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was placed there so that God's people would know He was with them. In fact, God told Moses to build the tabernacle, to set it in the midst of the people, that they may never say, "Is God with us or not?" The death of Christ does the same thing for me today. Because after seeing the death of Christ on the cross, I can never ask, "Does God really love me?" I can't ask that. 1 John 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Because of that, 1 John 4 and verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." I can never honestly ask, "Does God love me?" because He has shown me that love once and for all. It should be this love, then, that causes me to want to live faithfully, to serve Him every day of my life, because therein is salvation. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us, "If we walk in the light," that means to continue to live in the light, "as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth." I love that word because it means it keeps on cleansing us from all sin. I will live faithfully if I respond properly to the death of Christ. But His death should cause us to love one another. Here's the key now. Like Jesus loved. Oh, Jesus loved you enough to die for you. I should love you just as much. He loved me enough to die for me. Therefore, you should love me that way. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That's simple, isn't it? If I am worthy of love in God's eyes, shouldn't I also be worthy of love in your eyes? And if you're worthy of love in God's eyes, that should be good enough for me, and I should love you. But I must love you the way that Jesus loved, and that is with your best interest in mind. That means that I should teach you the right way. And that's the last thing that the death of Christ should cause me to do. It should cause me to tell others the gospel. To teach others the good news. If you remember, Paul claimed that he was the chief of all sinners. He had done all these things that were so terrible, even persecuting and killing Christians. But when he received salvation through obedience, he tells them in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, that I am debtor. You see that? He believed that he owed them. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's how I should respond to the death of Christ. I should want to be a Christian. I should want to live faithfully. I should love others. And I should teach others because of that love for them. We're left with one question then. Only one in this entire study. How will you respond to the death of Christ? You know, it would be possible for me to completely ignore what Jesus has done. It would be possible for me to say, Jesus died on the cross and that's all that has to be done. But none of those responses would get me to heaven. In fact, as far as I personally am concerned, it would be a waste. His death on the cross would have been wasted for me. Rather, if I come to Christ in obedience to His terms, that means believing that He is in fact the Son of God, repenting of my sins, confessing His name before men here on the earth, and then being baptized in water for the remission of sins, then that death on the cross can save me.
Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.